Let me give you a number first, and then we'll talk about why it might be the most important number in military aviation right now. That number is the cost of one airplane program. Not one airplane. One program. And depending on who you ask, it could climb past anything this country has ever bought to fly. This is Radio Hangar, I'm Tower, and you're listening to ATIS. Today, we're stepping outside the pattern a little, away from the usual notices and bulletins, to look at a story that's been building in the trade press all week. Simple Flying ran a piece asking a pointed question. Could the Boeing F-47 become the most expensive aircraft in history, and could the program behind it bankrupt the Pentagon? Now I'm a news anchor who happens to be a pilot, not a defense budget analyst, so I'm going to give you the facts as they've been reported. I'm going to give you the context a pilot cares about, and where I'm offering an opinion, I'll tell you plainly that it's opinion. Fair enough, let's get into it before we do. A quick word about who keeps the lights on around here. Today's broadcast is brought to you by AviationSoul.com. Aviation Challenge coins built to mark the milestones, the discipline, and the pride behind every step in flight. From first solo to airline transport pilot, every coin tells a story. Some of you carry one in your flight bag right now. If you don't, go take a look. AviationSoul.com. All right, here's what you need to know. The F-47 is the fighter that came out of the United States Air Force program called Next Generation Air Dominance. You'll hear that shortened to NGAD. Think of it as the Air Force's answer to a simple problem. The F-22 Raptor, which is still the finest air superiority fighter ever built, first flew back in the early 90s and entered service in 2005. Production stopped years ago. The line is cold, and air dominance. The ability to own the sky over a battlefield is something the Air Force does not want to gamble on going into the second half of this century. So NGAD was conceived not as a single airplane, but as a family of systems, a crewed fighter at the center, uncrewed aircraft flying alongside it, what the service calls collaborative combat aircraft, essentially robotic wingmen, advanced engines, new sensors, new networking, the whole package. Earlier this year, the contract for that crewed fighter went to Boeing, and the aircraft got a designation that raised a few eyebrows, F-47. Here's why that matters to you, even if you'll never fly one. The decisions made on a program like this ripple outward for decades. They shape which manufacturers stay healthy. They shape where engineering talent goes. They shape the industrial base that eventually builds the avionics and the materials and the training pipelines that touch general aviation too. When the Pentagon spends at this scale, it bends the whole industry around it. Now to the headline, the cost. The headline doesn't tell the whole story, so let me unpack it carefully. When people say the F-47 could be the most expensive aircraft in history, they're usually talking about one of two very different numbers, and the difference matters enormously. The first number is the flyaway cost, or the unit cost. That's roughly what one airplane costs to build and hand over. Public reporting and statements from Air Force leadership have suggested the F-47's unit cost could land somewhere in the neighborhood of $300 million per aircraft. For comparison, an F-35 Lightning runs in the low to mid 80s of millions these days, depending on the variant. The F-22, back when it was in production, was well over $150 million a copy in the dollars of its day. So a $300 million fighter is expensive, genuinely expensive, but it is not science fiction. It's in the same family as a Raptor scaled up. The second number is the one that makes headlines. The total program cost, lifetime. And that is where the figures get vertigo-inducing. Here's the thing about a modern fighter program. The sticker price of the jet is the small part. The big part is everything around it. Research and development, the thousands of airframes, if it goes to full production, then the part nobody likes to talk about. Sustainment, spare parts, depot maintenance, engine overhauls, upgrades, training, fuel, decade after decade after decade. We have a reference point for this, and it's the F-35. The Lightning program's total estimated lifetime cost has been reported by the Government Accountability Office at well over $1.5 trillion, with a T across its full service life through the 2080s. Most of that is not the airplanes. Most of that is operating and sustaining them for half a century. So when the trade press asks whether the F-47 could be the most expensive aircraft in history, what they're really asking is this. If you add up development, a full fleet, the robotic wingmen flying alongside it, and 50 years of keeping the whole thing in the air, does the lifetime total exceed anything we've ever fielded? And the honest answer is, it very well could not because any single jet is absurd, but because the program is enormous and the time horizon is long. That's the part I want you to hold on to. When a number sounds impossible, check whether it's a unit cost or a lifetime program cost. Those are different conversations. The reporting on the F-47 blends them, and that blending is where a lot of the alarm comes from. Let me bring in the second story point, because it's the reason any of this is moving at all. The F-22 needs a successor, and the clock is real. The Raptor fleet is comparatively small. The Air Force only ever bought around 180-odd combat-coded aircraft, far fewer than originally planned, because the program was truncated back in 2009. Those airframes are aging, they're superb, but they are finite, and they cannot be replaced because, as I said, the line is closed. So, the Air Force has a genuine capability gap forming on the horizon. The argument for spending big on NGAD is straightforward. If you believe air superiority is the thing that makes everything else in modern warfare possible, and historically it has been, then you do not want to be caught with a thinning fleet of irreplaceable jets and nothing coming behind them. That's the case for the program. Now the case against, and this is where the bankruptcy question lives. Critics, and there are serious ones, make a few arguments. 1. The unit cost is so high that you can only afford a small number of airframes, and a small fleet is a fragile fleet. You lose a few. You've lost a meaningful slice of your capability. 2. The threat environment is shifting toward uncrewed systems and long-range weapons, and some argue that pouring a fortune into an exquisite crewed fighter is fighting the last war. 3. The sustainment tail. If the F-35 taught us anything, it's that the bill doesn't stop when the factory closes. It compounds for decades. I'll flag this next part as analysis. My read, not established fact. The phrase bankrupt the Pentagon is rhetorical. The Defense Department is not going to be bankrupted by a single fighter program. But the real concern underneath the headline is sound. Every dollar committed to NGAD over 50 years is a dollar not available for tankers, for airlift, for munitions, for the unglamorous logistics that actually win conflicts. The danger isn't a literal bankruptcy, it's opportunity cost. It's a budget so dominated by one crown jewel that the rest of the force gets starved. That's a legitimate debate, and reasonable aviation people land on both sides of it. This affects you if you care about where American aerospace is heading, and frankly, if you fly anything in this country, you should. Let me explain that connection because it's not obvious. Boeing winning the F-47 is a significant moment for a company that has had a brutal few years on the commercial side. A major decades-long military franchise stabilizes engineering teams, funds research, and keeps a manufacturing base alive. The technologies that get matured on a program like this, advanced materials, propulsion, autonomy, sensor fusion, those don't stay locked in the black world forever. They migrate. The fly-by-wire on your modern airliner, the glass cockpit in a lot of general aviation panels, the GPS that anchors your approaches, all of it traces back in part to defense investment that eventually found its way down to the rest of us. So, when you watch a program like NGAD, you're watching the headwaters of technology that may sit in a cockpit you fly 20 years from now. That's not a reason to spend recklessly. It is a reason to pay attention. Now let me give you the sober counterweight, because I don't want to oversell that point either. Defense spending is not a jobs program or a tech incubator, and it shouldn't be justified as one. It has to be justified on whether it buys the capability the country needs at a price the country can sustain. That's the question Air Force leadership, the Congress, and the GAO will be wrestling with for years. Expect the cost estimates to move. Expect the fleet size numbers to move. Early figures on programs this size are almost always optimistic, and history says the final bill tends to climb. So, what should you actually do with this story? Honestly, nothing operational. You won't file a flight plan differently because of the F-47. But here's the practical takeaway for how you consume aviation news going forward. When you see a defense aircraft cost in a headline, ask the three questions we walk through today. Is this a unit cost or a lifetime program cost? Over how many years and how many airframes? And how much of it is sustainment versus the jet itself? Ask those three things, and most of the scary numbers in defense reporting suddenly make a lot more sense. You'll be the person in the hangar who actually understands what the headline means. Let me leave you with one more thought, and I'll mark it clearly as opinion. The most interesting thing about the F-47 may not be the jet at all. It may be the robotic wingmen flying with it. The collaborative combat aircraft are projected to cost a fraction of the crewed fighter, and you can buy a lot of them. If the future of air dominance is one expensive quarterback throwing to a swarm of cheaper, attritable teammates, then the headline cost of the F-47 is only half the story, and maybe not even the important half. We'll be watching that play out for the next decade. That's the brief for today. My thanks to Simple Flying for the reporting that prompted this one, and to the Government Accountability Office and the Air Force's own public statements for the cost figures we leaned on. You can find us anytime at radiohanger.com. I'm Tower. The sky's about to get a lot more expensive and a lot more interesting. Fly safe, and I'll see you on the next one.